Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Back for another episode of Off the Line Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 54, week 16. We are in the playoff semifinals in your various leagues. So it's an exciting time as we wind down the end of the season. So if you're still fighting for, you know, for your championship, we salute to you for the grind that's been and what's to come the last 2 weeks. Again, this is Eugene. You can find me on Twitter at Fantasy Jeans. That's G-E-N-E-S. Follow our official Twitter handle, Off the Line FF. And of course, I got my fellow Cowboys fan and the other host of the show, Ike. How you doing? How you feeling today?
Feeling good. We're advanced to the semifinals. We're already, you know, this far into the season. I have a couple of teams, several teams in the semifinals. I'm sure you do as well. I would have had another team if you didn't beat me in one league that we were playing. But hey, can't complain about my other squad. So, you know, I have a lot of lineup decisions that I need to make. Hopefully you guys do too, and you know you're able to, you know, come out the other side of it with a W.
Yeah, man. I think I had 10 teams that made the playoffs. I think I got 6 of them still alive. So, you know, pretty interesting decisions you got to make this week. I think 4 of them are best ball, so I don't have too much. It's just a matter of picking up some scrubs off the waiver wire and see what happens. But the 2 lineup leagues, I got some interesting decisions to make. But hopefully, you know, we help the people out as we, you know, try to talk through this weekend.
I've got 6 as well. That's crazy. I would have had 7 if it wasn't for somebody. But hey, well,
my bad.
But we'll figure things out.
All right. So let's go ahead and talk about these prize pick recaps from the previous week. I again went 2-0. I had the Zeke over half a touchdown passing, rushing, or receiving. He got busy really early with that one. Sucks how that game ended, but no, we're not worried about that right now. We're talking about prize picks. And then I had D. Smitty over 4.5 receptions. I know the Philly offense, passing offense, went crazy. Jalen Hurts only threw to A.J. Brown and D. Smith, so he hit that in the second half. If I would have picked the yards would have been done before the first half finished, but you know, it happens. Yeah. But no, 2-0, man. We did it. So how did you do?
1-1 again. 1-1 again. Miles Sanders flopped. You know, Jalen Hurts had 3 short rushing touchdowns. I know Miles Sanders got tackled at the goal line a handful of times. So it was a good matchup. It was a good process, but unfortunately things didn't work out. And then I had Tony Pollard over 52.5. He finished with 19 carries for 75 yards. So that was a good pick. And you know, obviously Tony Pollard has been on a tear as of late, and he's definitely the Cowboys RB1 now. So just like we all predicted in the offseason. So that was a positive play for me. But you know, another 1-1 week. I feel like every week I just go 1-1. There's always something that happens on the other play. But hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. I'd rather be 1-1 than 0-2. So
yeah, it was interesting watching that Philly game because it was a very pass heavy attack. I was honestly surprised. And then you know when they were battling Justin Fields' feet versus the whole Philly offense, I felt like they just got a little impatient. They just wanted to make sure that they, you know, make sure they took care of business. And once it was kind of out of reach, it's just, you know, it's still, I think Sanders had the lowest amount of carries that he's had in any game this season outside like week two or week three or something like that. So it was interesting to see once they know how that game unfolded.
Yeah, and then and plus like the Bears defense is they're bad against the run and the pass. So you can attack them both ways. Like they're 30 pass DVOA and they're 26th and rush DVOA. So either way it goes, pick your poison. I mean, they could just easily just, you know, get shredded on either side of the ball. They traded their best defensive player in midseason. So that speaks volumes, and it has, you know, as we've seen, they've been giving up a lot of points since then. Yeah. So I think that kind of goes without saying though.
Yeah. All right. Bold predictions last week. You know, I picked Kamara over 125 total yards. Thought it was a really good process play, but I forgot it's the Saints and they just don't do things right. And he missed it by 21 yards. He just barely got over 100 total yards. They mixed in a lot of David Johnson. He didn't really, I mean, Kamara didn't really do too much in terms of the passing game. I think David Johnson had six targets compared to Kamara's one. They had Kamara just kind of ice the game. It's just almost like they treating him as like a plotter. Now it's weird. I don't know what's going on. And he's not scoring any touchdowns on top of that, which is really hurting his production for the year. But yeah, he didn't get the 125 total yards.
Yeah, I had a couple of Alvin Kamara anytime touchdowns tied up in parlays that did not hit. Once again, surprise last week. So that was unfortunate for me as well. But I had Keenan Allen as being a top five wide receiver against, you know, one of the worst secondaries in the league in Tennessee. He had 8 catches for 86 yards. If he might have gotten in the end zone, he could have came close, but he only finishes wide receiver 19 on the week. So a wide, just, you know, a board, you know, wide receiver two as opposed to wide receiver one. And, you know, it's good, you know, again, a good process play again. You know, for what that game was weird. It was only 17-14. Justin Herbert threw for, I think he threw for a lot of yards, but he just didn't have any touchdown passes. And both of their touchdowns were on the ground. Austin Eckler had one and Josh Kelly had another. But yeah, it was just a weird game, and they didn't take full advantage of that Titan secondary. So, wide receiver 19, another dud for the bold predictions.
Yeah, Justin Herbert threw 300 yards and two interceptions. So
yeah,
very weird game. It was weird. He didn't look like he threw over 300 yards because of how sluggish the offense looked. But yeah, it happens, man. It was a very good process play because I had him in one of my DraftKings leagues that I do with some people, and it cost me a trip to the semifinals, and I was like the number two seed because of Justin Herbert.
Oh, best ball?
Yeah, no, it's not best ball. We do a lineup weekly league, so you just pick a lineup each week, and you know, in terms of like you beating your head-to-head opponent is how we determine the seeding. And I mean, I was pretty much one of the top teams in terms of, you know, being top three in terms of scoring each week. But of course, playoffs come and Justin Herbert lays a fucking egg and I get booted out. So
yikes. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to hear that, sir. But, you know, switching gears, let's go ahead and get to some of these just quick reactions from week 15. Crazy week. Crazy. One of the craziest weekends of football that we've seen. We had like three overtime games. We had like a lot of walk-offs.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, you name it. There was, you know, only the biggest comeback in NFL history from the Vikings on Saturday afternoon against the Colts. Kirk Cousins threw for 400 yards in the second half alone. And that's basically our fantasy MVP because, I mean, if you throw for 400 yards and a half of football, like, come on. Obviously, he fed Justin Jefferson the way he's supposed to feed Justin Jefferson. But KJ Osborne was the leading receiver, had 157 yards on 10 catches. But hey, that pass volume, I mean, people are going to eat. People are going to eat all over the field. And Kirk Cousins and that Vikings offense was eating. Even Dalvin Cook got in 95 yards rushing, had a 65-yard touchdown reception. You know, late in regulation to basically get the game to overtime. So, yeah, man, it was a wild game. And I was just watching. I was like, man, these dudes are down 33-0. Like, so I started doing other stuff. And then I look up, it was 33-7. And then it was, you know, 33-15. And then I was like, oh, well, damn, it's 33-21, 33-24, you know, whatever. And then just the number just kept piling up, and the Colts just kept not doing anything. So
they kept kicking field goals.
Kept kicking field goals. Kept run, pass, punt. Yep. Run, pass, punt. Run, pass, punt. That's what people do with – it seems like what conservative coaches do whenever they have these big leads. Run, pass, punt. Play not to lose. And that gets you beat almost every time. So no matter how many points you're up, if you don't stay aggressive, you don't put that pedal to the metal, you're giving the opposing offense, especially an offense that has Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook on it, too many chances to come back. And then, you know, another offense that kind of went off was the Jags offense against our Cowboys.
Mm.
Trevor Lawrence is looking like that number one overall pick that we've expected him to look. He's finally, you know, clicking on all cylinders. He's figuring things out now. And he had four touchdown passes against our secondary, our banged up secondary, albeit banged up, but you know, we were a top five, you know, a top five defense, and he absolutely shredded us. And so, you know, even say, and then Zay Jones went nuts for three touchdowns, had 90 yards receiving. He ran this sick double move on Kelvin Joseph, who's been food all season.
Bro, that's who they picked on.
I don't think I've seen him make a play all year, man. Honestly,
they found him in the second half, and they just continued to like bending him over and impounded him, man.
Yeah,
that's all they did the whole second half.
Yeah, abuse Kelvin Joseph. Find Kelvin Joseph. Stay away from Diggs. Diggs is not even getting that many targets now. So it's a concern for the Cowboys defense. But you know, some other stars from week 15: Jerick McKinnon, another 30 burger. 18 for 122 on the ground, and then had another 8 for 70 and a touchdown receiving against the Texans. And so he's the definition of, you know, people hate this term, but he is the definition of a league winner, right? Yeah. He is. That's just, you know, that's just what he is. You picked him up off of waivers. You weren't starting him all year, but you know, the last like 3-4 weeks, you know, over the last month or so, he's been balling. He has command of that Chiefs backfield. I know the snap percentages may not suggest, because Isaiah Pacheco is still involved, and Isaiah Pacheco still had another 80 yards rushing, and he's still, you know, heavily involved, you know, rush attempts wise. But Jerick McKinnon is the guy that's going to be in for the high leverage situations, game when the game's on the line, passing downs. It's Jerick McKinnon. And we kind of talked about the Eagles already earlier. Jalen Hurts, you know, three touchdowns, 300 yards passing, and then Devontae Smith and AJ Brown combined for 97% of Jalen Hurts' passing yards. Jalen Hurts threw for 315, and AJ Brown and Devontae Smith had 306 of the 315. So,
jeez,
it basically tells you what the game plan was for that game. And then, you know, just a couple of round these out. Ramondre Stevenson for the Patriots, 172 yards and a touchdown in his return. He actually didn't miss a game. He didn't miss a game. He was questionable all week, limited practices, but he played and, you know, rushed for 172 yards and a touchdown against the Raiders. We'll talk a little bit about that game here in a second. And then Josh Allen, obviously, on Saturday, four touchdowns against the Miami Dolphins, just, you know, continuing to cook. I think it had over 70 rushing yards as well. I think in the fourth quarter he had like a 45 yard run.
Yep.
Josh Allen clicking on all cylinders.
To the scrubs, you know, Jamal Williams again. Somebody that's been very touchdown dependent, and when he hasn't scored a touchdown, he's been ass. As you see this past week, he was 13 for 33. Didn't use him in the passing game. And I believe DeAndre Swift even had the most touches that he's had in a game since, I think, week one, the very beginning of the season. I think he led the whole backfield in 17 touches. And then we also saw Justin Jackson even get mixed in. So it's going to be tough for owners this coming week. Do you want to go back and trust Jamal Williams? I know he's been really good for you all season, but these past two games, he's done nothing for you. And he's playing, you know, he's playing the Carolina this week. So it should be interesting trying to figure out what you want to do with that particular player. Miles Sanders, we talked about him earlier. He wasn't really much in the scheme of the offense. He 11 for 42, really pedestrian, didn't get in the end zone, didn't use in the passing game, and he also lost a fumble. So No, he only got you 2 points if you don't play. If you don't play in a points per carry league. So the next player, Deontay Foreman, which was his also his lowest output of season, 10 carries for 9 yards, couldn't even get you a full point in PPR leagues or in standard leagues. So big yikes there. And then Jacoby Myers, you know, he was kind of – he was in concussion protocol, came back this past week, didn't really – didn't wasn't that active in the offense. And then at the end of the game – they were trying to run the, you know, the lateral, trying to make something happen, not to go to overtime. And this guy throws it right to Chandler Jones, and he mushes Mac Jones to the core of the earth in on his way to win the game with no seconds left on the clock. It's just something the literally the craziest ending of a game I've seen in my lifetime. Honestly, I've never seen anybody trying to run that lateral play, trying to make shit happen at the end of the game.
The game was tied. Yeah. The game was tied. They weren't trailing.
No, they weren't. The game
was tied.
You just go down. There's no other play but to go down. Just, you know, take your chances at overtime. This dude throws a dart right to Chandler Jones.
Yeah, a dart. Yeah. It was the most accurate pass that was thrown on the Patriots all game long. Because Mac Jones is not that good. Against the Raiders, so yeah, it was a bad showing all around. So yeah, he's definitely our fantasy LPP for that colossal gaffe.
All right, let's get to cap or no cap, the segment of the show we try to preview or highlight a couple players for in terms of plays for the coming week. And you know, you got your league semifinals or your finals, depending on how your league goes. But most people is their semifinals this week. And we feel like a couple of these players that we're going to talk about are probably going to be on minds of most people and, you know, probably within your decision making of how you're going to go this week. So the first player I want to touch on is, I'm starting Gardner Minshew this week for my semifinal game, cap or no cap?
Whew. I'm not starting him. I can't look. His offensive environment is really nice, but he can't do. He can't. There's things that he can't do in that offense that Jalen Hurts can. Right. So I know he's averaging about 18 fantasy points per game, you know, as a starter in his career, but I can't. Like I wouldn't start him over, you know, Trevor Lawrence. I probably won't even start him over Aaron Rodgers this week. I think Aaron Rodgers has a really good matchup against Miami. Like, that's, I mean, he's got Christian, yeah. He actually has healthy receivers to throw to that off. I mean, look out for Green Bay, at least the last three games of the season. I mean, they could be making a run. I wouldn't start him over Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones, he can do something with his legs. I don't know. I'd say this is cap. For me, I wouldn't be able to start him.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like, he hasn't played all year. He only started 2 games the year before. I understand the setup for him is nice. You got a great offensive line. You got great ancillary weapons. You get Dallas Goedert back, but I'm not sure if I have the goal to start the backup in a very important spot. Your semifinal week, you're playing divisional game against the Cowboys on the road. Man, I don't know, man. I don't think I could do it either. Even with like a bunch of these quarterbacks playing in pretty tough weather conditions this coming week for a lot of these teams. I think this is cap for me also. I don't think I could do it. All right. In the last one I got for you, I'm starting Tyler Allgeier this week. Cap or no cap?
I would say this is I would slightly lean to no cap only because since Desmond Ridder took over as the quarterback last week, I know we have a 1-game sample size. Nothing really changed in that offense, right? Nothing really changed. They were still running the ball heavily. they still had a, you know, they trailed most of the game and they still had a 44% pass rate. So they weren't really passing the ball at all. So they were still running heavy. Yet, coming off of a season high, 17 rush attempts. Tyler Huntley's out for the season. They may call up another running back to get into the rotation with Algier and Patterson. But I think this, I feel like this is slightly no cap. You can throw him in one of your flex spots. If those of your leagues that are more progressive than others, you probably have multiple flex spots, and you can slot them in one of those. But yeah, I feel like this is slight lean to no cap.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, like you say, he had the most rush attempts for his career this season with 17, which led the backfield. But we did see Pat. He led the backfield in routes ran and snap percentage, but I mean, it was 50. And I think Algier was a 43 or something like that. We did mention that they still are passing, even when they're in a negative game strip, they're still not passing even at average for the league. I mean, they have, I believe Atlanta is the most run heavy offense in the league and also have the lowest pass rate over expectations since week 12. And it's not even close to the next team. So, I mean, I'm expecting them to run the ball, especially when they play in Baltimore this coming week. They're going to be in the cold. You know, he's a rookie on his first game on the road. They're probably going to be running the ball a lot. I know Baltimore's defense has some missing players. So they might be prone to, you know, get ran on, even though Baltimore has the third lowest yards per game allowed, the lowest yards per carry allowed, and the fifth lowest fantasy points per game allowed to running backs since week 10. So it's going to be tough. I say that all to say that I understand if people want to start him just because the sheer volume he's probably going to get. Yeah. But for me, I think it'd be capped to start him. I would hope I could have better options. But if it's me, I think for me it'd be Cap. I can't start him. I don't think I can trust him in my lineup. Another player that's been very, very hot the last 4 weeks, the last month of the season, he's been on fire. Will Zay Jones start for you this week? And I say this because I know you saw in one of our leagues that we're in and hearing people talking about Zay Jones and like, oh, I lost this week because I didn't start him. But him and like a lot of other people that's been out here, if you have, you know, several other options and Zay Jones is your wide receiver four, you probably haven't really been starting him all season. So it's interesting now that you have a 4 week sample size where he's led the team in receptions, targets, yards, and touchdowns the last 4 weeks, and you're in the semifinals this coming weekend. You got to make a decision. Do you start him or not? So cap or no cap, you start Zay Jones this week.
I want to be careful and not point chase because I think that people who start him this week are point chasing because they're playing the Jets and they have a top five pass DVOA and it's bad weather. And you know, wide receivers, you know, tend to struggle against the Jets. For me, I'm not starting him. I'm leaning towards not starting him. I know I have a couple lineup decisions to make in leagues, and I have him in one. And I'm probably leaning towards not starting him, even though he's leading the team in receptions, yards, and targets, and touchdowns the last 4 weeks. You know, five out of his last six games, he's been in double digit fantasy points, playing really, really well. But I just want to be careful not to point chase. And for me, I'm just, you know, I can't take the volatility, potential volatility in my fantasy lineup, especially in week 16, where you're basically playing for a chance to be in the fantasy championship the following week. It's tough for me, man. It's tough for me. I slight cap, but you know, if you're a believer in how good he's been the last, you know, the last month or so, go ahead and put him in your lineup. But me, I'm leaning towards not.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you here. I think it's a slight cap. I mean, they're playing the Jets on Thursday night. I know Cam Robinson is out for the year, so that hurts that offensive line. And like you said, they're going to be playing really bad weather. I'm not sure. I can't see how Trevor Lawrence is throwing the ball 40 times, because it's funny that you mentioned Zay Jones. Four of the last five, he's been double-digit scoring. Those games where he's scored double digits, Trevor Lawrence has thrown the ball 40 times in all those games. In the game that he didn't throw over, he didn't go over double-digit scores, Trevor Lawrence only threw the ball 31 times. So I can't imagine the Jags throwing the ball 40 times and versus the Jets with that pass defense, that front line, that the great pass rush in what I think is going to be teens, and I think it's supposed to be dealing with 20 plus mile per hour winds on top of that. So yeah, I have to say cap on that one. I need to find somebody else.
So real quick, the Pro Bowl rosters were just announced.
Okay.
The quarterbacks on the NFC side, Jalen Hurts, Kirk Cousins, and Geno Smith. Any arguments there?
Geno Smith. Kirk Cousins and Geno? Interesting. But I mean, if you really think about it, it's fine. Who else were you gonna put? Everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately it was they were fine.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's Mahomes, Burrow, and Josh Allen made it.
Yeah.
For the AFC side. Running backs though, pretty interesting. Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, and Tony Pollard.
Really? That
that's right.
A part-time running back being first choice for a Pro Bowl. That's
interesting. Well, shit, he ain't part-time no more. He doesn't have part-time production.
that's true. He doesn't have part-time production for sure. I'm just going by part-time in terms of like the snap percentage or whatnot. So
yeah.
Okay.
Obviously the AFC side, Josh Jacobs, Derrick Henry, and Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
So no arguments there. And then just we'll round out the receivers. No shocker, Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb.
Okay.
Sadarian made it. And then Terry McLaurin for the NFC side. And then the AFC side, Hill, Diggs, Adams, Chase. Chalk, chalk, chalk. We know. We knew that. We knew that was happening.
Like, I'm surprised Waddle didn't sneak up in there, but yeah, that's all.
Who's he going to make it over? He ain't going to make it over what? Chase. He ain't going to make it over Adams. He ain't going to make it over Diggs.
You're right.
You know, if there was five wide, then yeah, you probably would have made it. But
yeah.
But that's, you know, pretty cool. Pretty cool. No real surprises there, I don't think. You know, depending on who you ask, but no real surprises on that Pro Bowl roster.
Yep, you're right.
All right, next segment, Talk to Me Nice. Here we're just gonna highlight a couple of matchups we wanna pinpoint for the Week 16 slate. First is pretty obvious. I tweeted this out a couple of days ago. Derrick Henry's playing the Texans again. Pretty simple, pretty easy. Since week 10, the Texans, they've allowed the fifth most rushing yards per game and the ninth most fantasy points. And of course, they're dead last in rush DVOA. And Derrick Henry's last four games, first of the Texans, 30 carries. 223 yards and two touchdowns. You know, it's just silly, man. Like, I'm really curious to see like what the books are gonna have Derrick Henry's rushing total at. Like,
it's gonna be set at 105.5.
105. Oh my god.
Yeah, that was this morning. I don't know if they moved it yet, but 105.5.
Wow, that's insane. If you're betting, if you're on one of these, like, you know, those of you that are in the East Coast, you know, up north, that have access to PointsBet, have access to FanDuel Sportsbook, take alternate lines for Derrick Henry, 150 plus, right? I'm sure that's the max cash that you can make. Just take that, and just feel great about it, because he's going to continue to smash the Texans like he smashes the Jags. But it just seems like he just has some sort of like vendetta against the Texans or something, because he always destroys them. Always.
Yeah, always. And think about, this was Malik's Willis's first start in the NFL was against the Texans. And everybody just assumed, like, okay, we know they're going to run the ball a bunch. They're going to be able to stop them. Nope. They didn't stop them. 32 for 219, two touchdowns. So start them with confidence. Bet them everywhere, wherever you see that number. Even now, Price Picks has them at 105. I'm smashing that. That's too easy. That's easy money. All right. The next one, next matchup we want to talk about is Keenan Allen versus the Colts. Since week 10, the Colts have allowed the 6th most fantasy points to slot receivers, allowed the 5th most fantasy points to wide receivers, and the 7th most receptions, receiving yards to wide receivers. They are 32nd in pass DVOA. I know Allen lines up in the slot 71% of the time since he's came back week 11. And within that time, he's averaged 5 receptions on 7 targets for almost 13 fantasy points per game from the slot. So, I mean, you can just imagine what Keenan Allen's going to do. And I know even these last 2-3 weeks, he's averaged, 14 targets per game with Justin Herbert. So, I mean, I think he's averaged eight receptions each of those last few games now that he's, you know, got his stride back in terms of playing after dealing with that hamstring injury. So, start Keenan everywhere. I'll be looking for his line to see where that line is at. If it's around 60, then I'm smashing that. So
yeah, that's an easy one for me as well. There's a couple of other ones that we want to highlight. The Green Bay wide receivers, they actually have a pretty good matchup against the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, they're a pretty good matchup against, you know, opposing wide receivers. Obviously, you saw what, you know, Buffalo did. Green Bay, you know, Christian Watson, he could probably get loose. You know, he can get behind the secondary a couple of times. Miami, they're 26th in pass DVOA, so they're pretty ripe for the picking, and it's going to be pretty decent weather down there in South Florida. And who knows? I mean, there could be a lot of points being scored. So that's the 12 o'clock game on Sunday. You know, in this, you know, kind of a weird slate. We'll get to in a second. You know, we have a bunch of Saturday games and just a handful of Sunday games. It seems like they put the shittier games on Sunday and the better games on Saturday. But we'll talk about that here in a second. But yeah, I think that's another one that we want to pinpoint. And then Garrett Wilson versus the Jags on Thursday night. Garrett Wilson, he's been nice this year, even, you know, despite whoever has been throwing him the ball. I mean, it's funny, we said this about Elijah Moore last year. He's catching passes from multiple quarterbacks and still producing. And now Garrett Wilson catching passes from Joe Flacco and Mike White and Zach Wilson, still producing regardless. He had 98 yards last week against the Lions. So and he's got the Jags, who are 32nd in pass DVOA. They're the worst, you know, basically the worst, you know, team against the pass on a per play basis. So I think this is a good smash spot for Garrett Wilson. So take your overs on Prize Picks, on Underdog, whatever prop betting market you have. Go ahead and put some coin on Garrett Wilson.
Yep. And one other one I want to highlight is Jerick McKinnon and Pacheco versus Seattle's rush defense. Seattle's rush defense is dead last in yards and fantasy points allowed, and third to last in terms of yards per carry versus running backs since week 10. So you can start either one of those with confidence. I know that point total is 48.5. But I know we'll, you know, kind of talk about, I mean, just kind of diving into some of the Saturday, Sunday, Monday games. I mean, even talking about that one, we've seen McKinnon, you know, back-to-back RB1 week. So you could potentially see that again, especially if Seattle keeps that game close. Then you're going to see a lot of McKinnon in the passing game for sure. I know they've been really trusting him there. So should be interesting to see, but you can definitely start Pacheco and McKinnon versus Seattle's run defense.
For sure. All right. And then we just kind of talked, we kind of briefly touched on the Thursday night game. I mean, you know, the Jags versus Jets on Thursday is going to be, you know, a low over under of 38. The Jets are favored by 1. We saw Zach Wilson, you know, his first start back this past week. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. He had a brutal interception in the game, but I mean, he still, put his team in scoring position, and they actually had the lead until the Lions took it at the very end. So
yeah,
he wasn't that bad. And then, you know, the Jags, they allow the fourth most pass yards per game and the fifth most fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. As we already mentioned, you know, the Jags, they're dead last in pass DVOA, so there could be some opportunities for Zach Wilson down the field with Garrett Wilson. Corey Davis should be coming back because he missed last week due to the concussion, but he practiced in full this week. So he'll be back in the receiving core, and then Elijah Moore as well. So there's opportunities for the Jets passing game. I'm in this one, provided the weather doesn't do too much, to that game. But with a low 38-point over under, Vegas is not expecting a wild shootout by any means. So
yeah, it's gonna be tough if you have either Jags or Jets on your team and you're needing them. I mean, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough because I don't see that many points happening. Especially, I don't think you're gonna see that much happening on the Jags side because that Jets defense, like we've said, it's really good, man. That's especially the secondary is really good. So it'd be tough to see Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, and Evan Engram do enough for it to make sense on your roster. So if they've been leading you all year, I understand you play them, but if you can find some other options and some other games, I will try to look elsewhere, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's gonna be tough
for a lot of these games.
This is where you earn your money in fantasy football this time of year. These lineup decisions that you have to make, this is the time to earn it.
And it's especially tough with, usually people are like, you start your studs and you just see what happens. But you got a lot of studs and a lot of potential really bad weather, low total games. So there's going to be some really spicy decisions you're going to have to make. One game we want to touch on Saturday is the Bengals versus Pats. 41.5 over under. What will the Pats focus on stopping versus the Bengals? The Pats are third in pass DVOA. Cincy is ninth in offensive pass DVOA and fifth in total offensive DVOA. They got all their weapons, but they got T. Higgins. T. Higgins practiced in full today, so we're expecting him not to pull that stunt that they did a couple weeks ago that screwed me for sure out of the playoffs with him not only playing one snap. You got Chase fully healthy. You got Mixon that looks back, so it's going to be interesting. I think Hayden Hurst, is he supposed to be back this week or no?
That I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything, but I'll have to probably do some more digging. But I hadn't seen anything about Hayden Hurst.
Okay, but yeah, so it should be interesting to see the Pats, what they decide to do in terms of trying to stop something or who they're going to stop. Because, usually they focus on one person, but this Pats defense, as of late, have been struggling trying to stop anybody. So it should be interesting on that, on the Pats side, what they do defensively versus those weapons on the Bengals side.
Can they run? Yeah. I mean, and just on the Patriots side really quick, can they run against Cincinnati? Cincinnati, I mean, they're middle of the pack in rush DVOA at 16th. So I think Ramondre Stevenson may have some opportunities in this one. So and he's clearly showed that he was healthy last week.
Yeah.
Injury report. Questionable, and then churns out 172 yards against the Raiders. So I think that's the biggest thing that I'm looking at. I don't have a ton of confidence in their passing game, to be quite honest, because it's just Mac Jones has been kind of erratic for the most part this year, and I think that's the reason why they're not going to make the playoffs, in my opinion, because of Mac Jones. But hey, we'll see how things unfold.
Yeah, I don't trust anything else on that offense except for Stevenson. I wouldn't start anybody except for Stevenson. Next game, Giants versus Vikings, 48 over under total, expecting a lot of points. We know the Vikings defense is not good at stopping the pass at all or the run, apparently. So, and then the Giants, their secondary is not really good because of all the injuries, but their front line is pretty good. So, one question I have is who's going to stop Justin Jefferson? Are we going to see him? I know he's already said that he's looking to break that Calvin Johnson record. So, and he's 300 a little over 300 yards shy of that. So,
and it's got three games left.
Yeah. So it should be interesting to see that. They're definitely going to be trying to go for that. They're at home, so we don't have to worry about the weather. So we're going to expect a lot of points for sure. A lot of offense in this game. So
one of the safer games that you could kind of pinpoint and circle and target at DFS, because there's not going to be any you know late December elements to affect it. So and the Giants, they have a lot of momentum on their side. They can play a pretty good game against Minnesota. I mean they just beat Washington and in Washington. And so that we'll see what happens with I think this game is going to be pretty competitive and going to be pretty fun, I think.
Yep. I don't think I'm starting anybody on the Giants side. I say Saquon and Daniel Jones, maybe, if you have
potentially Darius Slayton because of Darius. And because the Vikings secondary is not good, right? I mean,
they've given up
a lot of fantasy points to the opposing wide receivers. So if Daniel Jones can take advantage of it, then you'll look to start Darius Slayton for sure.
Yeah. The Vikings have given up the most fantasy points to wide receivers since week 10. And they've given up the second most receiving yards to wide receivers. So I'm sure if you want to trust anybody, it'd be Darius Slayton. Looks like that's the guy he trusts the most in the offense. So, and then on the Vikings side, of course, you're going to Cook, Cousins, Justin, Thielen, if you have to. I wouldn't go chasing the KJ Osborne. They had to throw the ball in that game, and just he was the one that was the recipient on two of those touchdowns. So I wouldn't chase that.
Yeah, this is kind of what we're referring to with with the point chasing thing.
Yeah,
people are gonna be quick to A, pick him up on the waiver wire, and B, target and putting him and slotting him in the lineups and starting him over someone that may have had a bad game but has been more consistent on a per week basis. Than KJ Osborne. So just that's one of the couple things to kind of be careful about.
Yeah. And then you're going to start TJ Hockenson because he's on a high profile offense. And just hope he does something. It's always a long ride.
And speaking of Hockenson, he made the Pro Bowl as well.
Oh, well, there it is.
Yeah. He got named to the Pro Bowl. Him and George Kittle on the NFC side.
Yeah, there wasn't really anybody else. So
yeah. I mean, you can probably make a case for Dallas Goedert, but he's been hurt.
He's been hurt. Yeah, yeah.
The next game we want to look at: Seattle versus Kansas City. One of the many good Saturday games. Saturday slate seems to be more exciting than the Sunday slate, as I'll continue to reiterate here. 48.5 over under. There's going to be points scored in this one. Obviously, the December weather is going to be—it's going to be really, really cold in Kansas City. But I don't think it matters for Mahomes. I think he's won—I don't know how many consecutive games in November, December.
Yeah,
I've lost count at this point.
Ungodly number amount, man.
I've lost count at this point. It's probably a lot, probably in the 20s. But the one thing I want to look at is Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon is who has been on a tear. And what he's going to do for an encore in week 16 in the semifinals, back to back performances as the RB1 in fantasy. That's how you win leagues with guys like him. And then Seattle, they have the worst rush defense, the worst defense against versus the running back since week 10. They allow at least 36 fantasy points and 171 rushing yards. And the 171 rushing yards are the worst for sure. So they just give up the ghost to running backs. Christian McCaffrey had his way last week in round one in the fantasy playoffs. So now they get Jerick McKinnon and that high flying offense in round two of the fantasy playoffs. So good luck stopping them.
Yeah, and of course we're expecting KC to score a lot of points. So you're expecting Seattle to do a lot of throwing because that's what you do when you're down by a lot. But Seattle's secondary hasn't been that bad. I know you can still throw on them, but they haven't been that bad. So it should be interesting to see how they defend Kansas City. But Seattle, you got Geno Smith. You're probably going to start him. You got DK. He's the number one now since Tyler Lockett is definitely not playing this week. You got an interesting decision to make with Marquise Goodwin. Do you start him or not? Because he's going to be the number two, and he's actually been been somewhat decent in spots this year. So it should be interesting what you do with that. Should be really interesting what you do with Noah Fant, because now he has a more prominent role with the missing Tyler Lockett. But, you know, Seattle likes throwing in like four different tight ends. So hopefully they don't fuck with you with that. I know we've seen Kenneth Walker. He's on the injury report again this week with the ankle. So I would pay attention to that also. If he's not able to go, then I'm not sure if I want to dabble with any of those other running backs, because we tried that the week before Walker came back, and that did not work out for anybody because Travis Homer didn't do much. Who was the other? Tony Jones didn't do nothing.
I don't know if he was active.
Who, Tony Jones?
Yeah, was he
active? I'm talking about not this week, but the week prior when Walker didn't play.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was playing. Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to go through that conundrum if Walker can't go this week.
Yeah, I agree. I agree there. The big one, probably the biggest game of the weekend, our Cowboys versus the Eagles.
Yep.
Now we're four. I think we're 4-point favorites, 5-point favorites.
Yeah.
With the news of Jalen Hurts basically not going to play. What's going to happen with AJ Brown and Devonta Smith with Gardner Minshew starting? I don't know if it changes a whole lot with them from a pass volume standpoint. I think if anything, this might actually boost them, because I think they're not going to be run as nearly as run heavy. Because I know that even when they pass, obviously the targets do funnel through AJB and Devonta Smith, but I think the pass volume is going to increase. They're going to ramp things up a little bit more because they have a more traditional, drop back quarterback with, Gardner Minshew. Even though Gardner Minshew can be mobile a little bit, he does have some mobility, but not nearly on the level of Jalen Hurts. So I wouldn't feel bad about, AJ Brown and Devonta Smith's prospects for week 16, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. And then with Dallas Goedert coming back this week also. So
yeah. One of the last games that I saw that Gardner Minshew played, Dallas Goedert just went crazy. He had like over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, I think, on a road game against the Jets. So that he could feed him as well. So that just makes the Eagles' passing attack a lot stronger. And with a banged up secondary in Dallas, I mean, they could definitely have some opportunities and take advantage of our beat up secondary.
Yeah, and then on the Cowboys side, a number I saw was fantasypointsdata.com. They had the Eagles as a bottom three matchup versus outside wide receivers and a top three matchup versus for slot receivers. And we know that CD Lamb has been the primary slot receiver. So it should be very interesting to see what that number is. And when you go to betting lines, see if the betting lines are going to, kind of adjust for that particular stat, or are they just going to think, okay, Philly's defense is really good, so let's make CD Lamb's line lower. So I think CD should have a good game versus Philly. If they primarily line him in the slot, which they've been doing all season at 50%, and I think the last 3 weeks, CD's lined up over 60% of the time the last 2 weeks specifically. So that's one matchup I want to pay attention to for sure.
And also, like, T.Y. Hilton may be active as well. So we
really?
Yeah. I think they wanted to give him another week to kind of ramp up, and then maybe. So I don't know for sure, but I know they held him out of the Jacksonville game. They may activate him for this game to kind of see how he, to give him a couple of routes, give him some playing time, see how he does, see how his body responds, because he obviously hasn't played football all season long. So there could be an opportunity there for T.Y. Hilton to get some snaps, to get some targets, and maybe get us another wide receiver that can consistently hold on to the ball. a safe guy to kind of throw the ball with some safe hands. So we'll see how that unfolds.
And then you're going to start both running backs, because you can run on Philly. So you're going to start both running backs for the Cowboys, start Dak, start CeeDee Lamb. It's been interesting to see Gallup, because Gallup hasn't really done too much, the last 2 weeks now.
You almost forget that he's on the team, because he's just been invisible.
Yeah,
he's been invisible. Like, what did he even do last game?
He didn't do anything. So,
you know, so there, we need Michael Gallup to step up. Like, yeah. Anything, like, we need him to step up.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you want to put him in your lineups. I understand that we've seen Noah Brown do some work, but I'm not sure if you're going to go down that route either. You could probably, you're probably going to start Dalton Schultz and just, you know, just close your eyes and hope that he does something. So, and then Philly, you're going to start everybody. And if you want to start, I know we talked about earlier, we don't, I don't feel that inclined, but I mean, even after you talking through all the options and, you know, the bad cap, well, the lack of options on the Cowboys secondary, that I wouldn't blame you if you start him because of, you know, if you go after Kelvin Joseph, then good things are going to happen. So I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah.
Next game, real quick, Green Bay versus Miami. I know we kind of talked about this.
Sunday game, the Sunday at noon game.
Yeah. The only game that's going to matter on Sunday. The Green Bay's, the Green Bay's good secondary versus Waddle and Hill. You know, they're going to be playing in Miami, so the weather's going to be warmer. So, you know, you kind of expect them to kind of run around the place. It's going to be a good matchup. You're going to start both those wide receivers anyway and just see what happens. I expect at least one of them to go off. I don't think they're going to be able to cover both of them. We should also see Jeff Wilson get back in this game. I think they said from the practice reports, he should be good to go for this game. And you can run on Green Bay. So it should be interesting to see. So you're going to start Tua, you're going to start both wide receivers, and you're going to start Jeff Wilson if he's available to play. I wouldn't entertain any of the tight ends because they rotate them, and Gesicki just doesn't – I mean, it's a guessing game when Gesicki does anything.
Really quick, though, just kind of circling back to the Pro Bowl conversation.
Okay.
I completely slipped my mind, like the running backs. It may be a little controversial because Christian McCaffrey did not make it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I didn't think about it either. I was like, okay, you know, Barkley, Pollard, Sanders, okay. Forgot about McCaffrey. Somebody pointed it out. It's like Christian McCaffrey has almost 1,600 all-purpose yards amongst NFC running backs. Saquon Barkley is just shy of 1,500, Pollard 1,300.
And he hasn't missed a game.
He hasn't missed a game.
Interesting. I wonder why they didn't why he didn't make it.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. Interesting. Yeah, but now looking at it, I mean, it should have basically been McCaffrey, Barkley, and Pollard.
Yeah.
To make it, but hey.
Isn't he leading the league in all purpose yards for running backs?
He leads the NFC.
Okay. I'm assuming Jacobs.
I don't know who. It's probably Josh Jacobs, though.
Yeah. Okay. But still. Okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting conversation. It's an interesting conversation. You know, I honestly, me, like, I haven't really taken too much stock into the Pro Bowl. It's kind of like a fun topic to talk about, but not necessarily take it seriously. But you know, people do get up in arms about their favorite player or a certain player not getting voted to the Pro Bowl. And I just don't have that kind of energy to really get up in arms about stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, all pro is what really matters at the end of the day. So, you know, Pro Bowl is cool and all. It's a nice accolade for, and look, it's an incentive in some people's contracts to make it the Pro Bowl, right? So it can affect them in that regard. But aside from that, I mean, it's not really that much of a needle mover, at least for me. It's just kind of fun. It's like, oh, yeah, so-and-so made the Pro Bowl. That's great. That's fun. That's cool. But that's it, right?
Yeah, let's keep it moving. And it's a flag football game this year, too, on top of that.
Exactly.
And we know one of the coaches. So
We do.
Yeah.
Shout out Vanita Crouch. One of the NFC coaches for the Pro Bowl.
Flag football legend. So
flag football goddess.
Yeah. All right. And then real quick about the Green Bay side, you're going to start Aaron Rodgers. You're going to start Aaron Jones. You're going to start A.J. Dillon if he's healthy. I know he had a concussion. So, but outside of that, I don't think I trust Christian Watson, obviously, for the big play ability. But I'm not sure if I feel comfortable starting any of the other wide receivers. I know we saw Romeo Doubs come back. He only played like 30% of snaps, but he had 5 receptions. So, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good percentage, but I'm not sure if I want to bet on that for my semifinal game.
It still didn't affect Christian Watson's target share, though. He had over like a 21% target share still. So even with Romeo Doubs coming back, Christian Watson was still running routes at a much higher rate than Romeo Doubs. So I think he's fine. Just the production wasn't there this week.
Yep.
And then the last game, I think that's the last Monday night game of the season. Chargers versus Colts, 46.5 point over under. There was news today that just came out that Matt Ryan is getting benched in favor of Nick Foles. I think a lot of people wanted to see Nick Foles this season instead of Matt Ryan again. So the Colts are just a mess. I don't know if they're in contention for the division anymore. They probably aren't. It's just the it's basically a two-horse race between the Jags and the Titans at this point, and the Titans are free-falling. So I think the Jags, they might end up winning that division and making the playoffs, because Ryan Tannehill's season is likely over.
Yep.
We have not seen enough out of Malik Willis to have confidence that he can, you know, win some games to get them into the playoffs. And Trevor Lawrence is just on fire. But he has a tough matchup against the Jets this week. So, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow night whenever they do lock up. But back to the Colts, but Nick Foles is starting now. You can still run on the Chargers. You know, Jonathan Taylor is out for the season. So that leaves Zach Moss. That leaves Deion Jackson for that backfield. I think it's, you know, Zach Moss got 24 carries last week.
He did. He did.
And he played the majority of the snaps, but the passing game work is probably going to go to Deion Jackson. And, you know, if you're choosing between these running backs, I would probably lean towards Zach Moss because A, you can run on the Chargers, and B, he played the majority of the snaps last week. And that kind of gives us an indicator of how the backfield is going to be deployed. So that's just me.
Yeah. And you got to pay attention to the Jordan Wilkins reactivation. So hopefully the Colts don't play. You better hope the Colts don't play that game. That's all I'm saying. That's the only reason why I'm bringing it up. Because we've seen it happen before.
That's just gross. Jordan Wilkins.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Colts side, outside of Pittman, are you going to feel good starting anybody else? Probably Zach Moss, I think. But I'm not sure if I want to. Maybe Paris Campbell? No.
I mean, it's Pittman. It's Pittman and potentially Zach Moss. Yeah. That's probably where I draw the line. You can make a case for Deion Jackson in deeper leagues, and if you have an extra flex spot or two, potentially slot him into one of those. But I'm only because he's playing the Chargers, and the Chargers are bad against the run. But outside of that, man, you can't start any other Colt.
Yeah. Charger side, you're starting Herbert, you're starting Eckler if he's healthy. I know he was held out majority of that game last week. So hopefully he's good to go.
Are you giving a shot to Josh Kelly?
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't.
I can't do it.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. You're also starting Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Jared Everett, Palmer. Can we start Palmer?
He got hurt.
He did get hurt. You're right.
Against the Titans. So I don't know if he's practiced this week.
I haven't checked, but
if he's, but that's one thing to kind of monitor. You know, coming into the week. Well, the game is on Monday, so I don't know if we're gonna start practicing until tomorrow. I think, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So we'll have to see how his injury is doing. I think he had an ankle or a knee or something like that. It was one of those injuries. I was watching NFL Red Zone at the time, and I saw the exact moment where he limped off. So I wasn't sure how much of the injury it was, if he even came back into the game.
Yeah. All right. So that's the rest of that's all the games that we want to talk about real quick. Ike, we do have a Monday night game next week. Is the Bills versus Bengals the end of the Monday night season? So great way to end it with such an important game as the Bengals and Bills in Cincinnati. We are
definitely. Oh, it's that's the last one, huh?
Yeah, that's the last one.
Oh, that's gonna be a major I think seeding implications.
Yeah, yeah.
For the playoffs.
Great way to end Monday night with those two teams.
We've had a lot of atrocious games.
We have.
The project games haven't been that great, but then you've had a couple of them, a couple sprinkled in that have they haven't disappointed, but for the most part, I mean, it's kind of been a dud, I would say.
Yeah, basically, I agree with you there. All right, so like I said, we're at the end of the show. So what I need y'all to do is please go to Destination Devi Radio, where you listen to your podcast. It's on Apple, you know, hit the follow, or on Spotify, anywhere, you just hit the follow button. If it's on Apple, rate us 5 stars, share with your friends, you know, comment anywhere you can where you listen to your podcast. And of course, on Fridays, we drop that All Gas newsletter. Please go to Destination Devi on Twitter and just hit the subscribe button so you get locked into all the information that we put out on Fridays at 7:01. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter, Off the Line FF. We'll be back next week to talk about y'all. Hopefully, y'all make it to the championship round. Ike, you got anything before we get out of here?
No, I just say, you know, good luck to you guys that are in the semifinals. You know, that you're one win away from making it to the championship games in your leagues. Make the best decisions. You know, there's still some people on the waiver wire that are worth picking up and putting in your lineups, especially if you're in a pinch. I'm sure if you've gotten this far, you didn't get this far without injuries. Everybody's dealing with injuries. Everybody's dealing with some sort of adversity when it comes to their rosters. But you know, we wish you guys good luck, man, and kill this week 16 and make it to the championship games and win your leagues.
Yeah, man. On that note,
vibes only.
Yes. So let's make sure nothing gets too.
Except if you're playing against me, then you're gonna hold the L, right? You're gonna hold the L.
Let's not get too crazy in terms of making these last minute roster decisions for your league setup.
Don't get cute.
Let's make that push, man. Let's get to the championship game. So on that note, y'all be safe.
Peace out. Good luck.